It's really good to be back here.
Amen.
I tell you what, Pastor Philip and Pastor Irene Chia, I've known them for 35 years. For those who haven't heard this, the background before, but those who are new, we have a good relationship, more than 35 years from Singapore days and here. We always communicate, and I always look to them as well for guidance and advice on spiritual matters, because I believe that they are more senior to us in ministry. And Philip and Irene Chia, they have been so faithful. You know, globally, there is a day, they call it Pastors Appreciation Day, right? I tell you what, every Sunday, you need to appreciate your pastors. Let's give a big hand to these pastors. It's never easy to be a pastor of a local house. They are the people who will be awake, praying, traveling when we are sleeping. Members are sleeping. A phone call away, they will be interceding for you. They always cover us in prayer, provide the spiritual guidance, speak to you on Sunday after Sunday, taking care of enormous mandate that God has given them in the kingdom, in the local house. So sometimes we can take our pastors for granted, right? Not because I'm a pastor, but I believe that we have gone through that. So important to really encourage them. They are just human, like all of us. Encourage them, motivate them, so that they can continue to journey with you and build God's house together. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you this morning. Today, I want to speak about identity in Christ. It's so important, Lord God, that you, come on, release to us, Lord, this understanding and revelation in our hearts, in our spirit, to say and know that who you say we are, Lord, we are. We thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Reveal your word to us in a greater dimension that never have we experienced or encounter you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, we can... All right, why do I choose this sermon, Our Identity in Christ? Throughout my ministry as a pastor in many churches, I've helped a few churches in Queensland, in Melbourne, and now in Perth, okay? And also in dealing with a lot of Christians, okay, in many places. There's a similar pattern that you see in many Christians, whether they're young or old, okay, or different culture or different race. It doesn't really matter. The same pattern is... they always feel that they are spiritually weak. They are feeble. They are compromising. They're always falling into sin. They say they cannot help themselves. They are always unable to take authority over situation. Okay? They don't know how to exercise their gift that God has given them. They can't pray even for others. Talk about themselves. They cannot pray. There's so many of them live in doubts, anxiety, and fear. And they always call the pastors. Every time they have a problem, small spiritual matters, they will ring Pastor Philip and Irene Chia. If I want to use the illustration, they will call 911 if you see a spider at home. Or they see a cockroach, they'll call the police or firemen. Hey, listen, I'm not saying that you should not call your pastors or leaders. There's some things you have to rise up and take authority. Amen? Because God has made you who you are. Okay, I will explain to you as I unwrap for you. The answer lies, I felt, the whole thing that I observed is failure for many Christians to understand our heritage and our identity in Christ. That's the bottom line. If today you leave this place and grab something so important, so powerful, I tell you what, it's going to make a difference in your spiritual life. From henceforth, don't worry what's the past. Today, you step out, you say, yes, I believe every word that's spoken. This is also not a negative sermon today. I believe this is going to be a positive one. Because we can be Christians on the outside, but on the inside, we are lost and defeated. And this is what the enemy wants to make you to be like this. Telling you. I speak the same. Every church I go to, okay, I do not make any apologies how I preach and tell them the truth and the revelation. So, slide number two. What is identity? I don't know. What is identity? From the context of the world, it's about your heritage. Okay, your name, your gender, who's your parents, where are you from, everything about your DNA. Alright? In the government, okay, they want to know who you are before you even access any bank account or government services. Please ID yourself, right? What's the name? What's the date of birth? Yes, or in Singapore, what's the IC number? Whatever, okay? So need to have an identity. In the context of a Christian, Jesus knew his identity during his baptism. Remember? The dove came, the Holy Spirit came, rest on him, and the Father, the voice from heaven says, you, affirming his identity, that you are my son, in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus knew his identity as a son of God and a son of man, that he knows that the Father is affirming him. The song that I sang, okay, Who You Say I Am, talks about identity in Christ. We are chosen. We are not forsaken. Okay, we are free as a child of God. So this is the thing that we need to grasp, the revelation, the truth. So I want to show you, next slide. I want to show you some scripture verses to validate what I'm trying to preach to you. Next slide. Is it working? Okay, cool. Look, you probably have seen this thousands of times. When you read the scripture, pause for a few minutes and say, Lord, what is this word telling me? John 1:12 says, for all who receive him, who believe in his name, he gives them the right to become children of God. It's talking about your new identity. You are now a child of God because you accepted Jesus. That's the day you have a new identity. Galatians 4:7, you are no longer a slave to sin or fear, right? Because you are crossover. But you are God's child. Chris Tomlin gave us the song, okay? No longer we are slave to fear because we are a child of God. And 2 Corinthians 5:7, perfect example. For if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. New. The moment you cross over, the moment you accept Jesus, you are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Period. That's the new identity again. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen people. You. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are a chosen people. Come on. Turn to your neighbor. You are a chosen people. Yes. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Man, I tell you what, just now I think Brother William was singing. God take us as treasure when we are so wretched. We are in the miry clay. We are doomed for destruction, for hell. But God sacrificed his son for us. So all these verses emphasize about our identity, including Ephesians 1. Verse 4 and 5. He already predestined us for adoption. I can go on and on and on and tell you so many scriptures, okay? But if you don't grasp it, you don't get it, you will never get it. You will continue to live without an identity. So what does identity with Christ mean? Next slide. What does it mean? It means you are one with him. I am who he says I am. Nothing will change. What he does, I can do. What he has, I have. What he possesses, I possess. So if he loves, I love. If he hates sins, I hate sin. If he forgives, I forgive. If he shows compassion, I will show compassion. When he gives, I give. You see, identity with somebody is like we are heads with him. We receive what God has destined for us. So in Mark 16, verse 17 says, for these signs shall follow those who believe in my name. Okay? And then the whole series of things that you can do. You can pick up sin, you can drink deadly poison, it will not harm you. You should pray for the sick, you should speak in new tongue. You should lay hands on the sick and they shall be well. Why are we not believing this verse or exercising that authority? Because we are who we say we are. Amen? I didn't preach anything different from the scripture. This is why it's a revelation. Next slide. How do you know your identity? If only I knew. Wow. Today, it's not too late. I don't really care whether you have been a Christian for one day or 20 years. If only we knew, you will have access to the benefits and the privileges of all the kingdom's benefits. You know what? When you call a government agency, for example, Centrelink or your bank, you just call and say, okay, I'm Jimmy. Guess what? So, who are you? Jimmy, okay. Your name? IC number? Date of birth? License? Okay? And your 4-digit, whatever. They need to identify you before they give you access to all whatever information you want. Correct? When you know your identity in Christ, you no longer operate in the natural. You heard that? Never heard this before. You will be operating in the spiritual and a new dimension of the supernatural, which others never understand. I tell you what, the day will come and somebody says that, I can't understand why you smiling under such stress. Why are you still joyful? When look at the situation around you, you are going through so much. They want to know what's within you. They also want. That's the day when people know that something special hidden within you that they want. That is the identity. You will have courage, boldness, no fear, wisdom, and all that comes with the privileges of identifying yourself with Christ. I give you a good example. Next slide. Okay. Look. What happened to the Goliath who takes on and demolishes so many Jews during the days in 1 Samuel 17? The Bible tells us that David was known to be the man after God's own heart. But David's identity was rooted. David's identity was rooted in the Yahweh God. He know. No one will be so stupid to fight Goliath, who has killed so many people. He's a giant and a monster. And here comes a little boy called David, who says that I will fight him. Even Saul was afraid. You crazy? You want to put on the armor? You want to put on the helmet? I want to give you a special weapon? He said no. You read the passage, you wonder why would this young small boy, is he foolish? Is he crazy to take on a monster? The bottom line is, the truth is, he knows his identity. He knows his identity. He knows that he can win. He knows that he will defeat this Goliath, not by his strength, nor by his might. And so, what did he say? He told Goliath, I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. He shifts the battle to God and not his own strength. That's the difference when you know your identity. Okay? You can take on anybody. But I'm not saying that you'll be foolish to do anything. But you know. One moment you know that the identity of you have in Christ, suddenly you have the special anointing, special bonus, the things that you never see yourself doing. Next one. What happened to Joseph? He was sold away by his brothers to be a slave. But then he went to Potiphar's house. And then the wife tried to seduce him. He knows his identity is in God, that God, Yahweh God, rescue him. He will never compromise his integrity and his love for God and to give in to a woman. And he ran for his life. I didn't say run from your wife, okay? I said run for his life. He ran away because he knew the temptation around the corner. He knows his identity. Next. Daniel knew his identity in God as a dedicated servant of the Most High. When faced with the decree that he cannot pray to God, but he continued to pray. And then people saw and reported to the king. And guess what? He was thrown in the lion's den. You see, when you know your identity, you will not be harmed. And that's what happened. None of the lions dare to touch him because he is holy, full of holiness. Even animals can't go near because he knew God is going to protect him. When you know your identity, you can take on anybody. Next one. What happened? The fourth man in the fire. The three Hebrew kids, we all know the story. I'm not going to repeat it. Okay? Stand on the grounds that they will continue to worship God. They refused to bow down to any golden image that the king Nebuchadnezzar was building, trusting in God. And guess what? They were thrown in the fire. I tell you, without the identity in Christ or in God, you can never take on such a feat like this. You will give in. You will submit. You will compromise. But because these Hebrew kids know their God, will rescue them, know that they cannot lose their faith and belief. Next, in the New Testament, Peter and John was at pray, heal the man in Acts chapter 3 outside the temple gates. And then this beggar, lame beggar, began to walk, run. He was jumping and praising God. And then in the Sanhedrin, the courts, the authorities told Peter and John to shut up, don't talk about God. Acts chapter 4, read. From verses 8, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit and he said to the authorities, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then you better know this, you and all the people of Israel. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth whom you crucified, but God raised him from the dead, and this man stands before you healed. Peter knew his identity. That's why he has sudden boldness, spiritual boldness and bravery to speak in front of authorities. I tell you, none of us can do that and get away. We will be locked up, especially in a communist country. You cannot speak out about your religion. And now you see, Peter knew his identity. He's not afraid. He rebuked all these authorities. Those who know the identity can stand before men and any authorities. Let me tell you, church. That's why Jesus, when was asked, okay, by Pontius Pilate, the king, he remains silent. He doesn't have to defend himself. God will defend you. You need to be silent and look and wait for God to show up in a miracle. You know what, church? Many times, as humans, we want to use our flesh to fight back, to defend, to refute, to counter any accusation against us. Sometimes silence is more powerful than noise. You never heard that before because we want to talk. We always want to talk. We always want to be heard. But I tell you what, when you are quiet, people will not say that you are stupid or dumb. Actually, you are golden inside you. We are gold. Because they do not know what's the next move. The Holy Spirit doesn't know the devil doesn't know what's the next move. That's the strategy. Just keep quiet. Pray in the Spirit. Let me tell you, this is very important. If you have not picked up anything, just keep quiet and pray in the Spirit. Holy Spirit will take over. Okay? When I have time, I tell you a wonderful testimony. How we fight against, you know, accusation against me and my family. But then we pray the Spirit. Alright. These are the people who know their identity. But the Bible also has people who doesn't know their identity. Like you and I sometimes, you know. Okay, show the next slide. Look at this guy. We all know, famous Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son. What happened to him? He was son of a wealthy, wealthy, you know, father who has so much, like palace, paradise for him. Okay? Guess what? He came, he wanted his inheritance, he wanted now. He was impatient. He wanted to fulfill his worldly, lustful dreams. He doesn't know his identity. He only wants selfish, immediate gain, like many of us, and forsake our identity. Guess what? He has an identity crisis. By demanding his inheritance and leaving the son forgotten that he was the beloved child, younger son of a wealthy father. Then he went and squandered all the money. That's it. The enemy took over his life. He lived among the pigs. When he came to himself, the Bible says he came to himself. the turning point came when he said, wait a minute, what am I doing here? Who are my friends? Oi, 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 oi. I don't live with the oi, oi. He became to realize that I am not supposed to be here. He came to himself. It's like identity revelation. And then he repented. He went back to the Father. And I tell you what, the scripture says the Father did not take revenge, exorcise him, scold him, condemn him, judge him, like our Heavenly Father. The Father welcomed him back, put on a royal robe on him, give him a ring, give him a shoes, and have a banquet, a feast, symbolizing that your identity is my son, my beloved son. You deserve, and yet you ran away. I forgive you. You see, this is our Heavenly Father, my friends. Did you know that sometimes we can be so naughty, I would say naughty, sinful, disobedient, run away, but God still has mercy on us. When we deserve judgment, God will still have mercy. So this is a good story about people who doesn't know their identity, who choose their own destiny. But thank God, He will restore. Next one. We all know this story. Esau was the firstborn of Jacob. Right? No, wrong. Esau was the firstborn of? Hey, Pastor Philip, better make sure they all read the Bible. Isaac. Okay, I try to trick you guys so that you are awake now. He was the firstborn, meaning that he was going to have all the inheritance, the blessing. But he did not know his identity. His childbirth identity, his birthrights. In the Old Testament, birthrights are so important. It equates to getting and inheriting all the riches and the blessing that the father has. And that's why you see the Old Testament talk about Jacob, Isaac will bless the kids. Jacob blessed his 12 sons. Blessing is so important, the spiritual blessing, the covering. So, over a bowl of soup, okay, because he's hungry. He said, never mind, my stomach comes first. And he gave up his birthrights. Church, how foolish. How foolish. For a moment, I think sometimes we regret. For a moment of anger, for a moment of rashfulness, for a moment of a wrong decision, we destroy something precious. It's an identity crisis. I call this identity crisis. It's where a Christian loses his identity on his awareness. Next slide. I'm going to tell you so clear. If you do not know your identity, you can lose your battles. All of us have battles in life. You can lose your battles. If you do not know your identity, you can lose your mission. If you do not know your identity, your spiritual walk can be meaningless and aimless. Why do you want to come to church? Why? Simple question. Why are you in church? Because I'm a Christian, I need to go to church. Wrong. You need to know, understand what is your purpose and meaning. Why you are a believer, why God saved you. If you do not know your identity, you will question your calling. Many Christians have walked away, given up their faith because of identity crisis. I have friends who brought me to Christ, but today they're no longer in church because they do not know their identity. They were swayed by the world and then the other influence that comes. And even worse now with the internet, social media, you will be easily hoodwinked if you are not careful to read the Bible. And lastly, if you do not know your identity, you will lose your God-given destiny. Wow. Church, hold on to this. All of us have a destiny. That's why we sang. Okay? He's for us. He's not against us. In my Father's house, okay, He has prepared a place for us. God has given a destiny for each one of you. He has predestined you for something good and not bad. You have a great future in Him. You're going to see God's hand in your life, in your family, in your spouse, in your children. But if you do not know your identity, you can lose your destiny. And you are going to be wayward. You're going to be bombarded with all types of things to draw you away. Come back, church. Come back to where your anchor is. So I'm talking to individuals now. Now I want to talk to the church. The church can also lose its identity. You know that? When I say the church, you don't think that it's Pastor Philip's problem, Pastor Irene's problem. No! The church is the body of Christ, okay? All of us form the church, okay? Ecclesia, it says. The church needs to recognize its identity. You ask me how? Well, the church can have an identity crisis when it loses sight of its biblical foundation, its calling, and begin to preach sermon, preaching or delivering messages which are more attracted to people, very compromising, very popular sermon. We do not know our calling. Okay? We substitute the divine mission with the worldly organizational models, more like a running like a business. And we like to conform to the modern culture rather than what God has called each of us as a church. So the church can lose its identity as well if we are not careful. We have seen many churches, suddenly they grow so fast, as all of a sudden, bang, the top leader fell away. People are all scattered. They are lost. They are devastated. You see, we have got to be very careful where our identity is. So I say again, the church needs to be relevant, to stay relevant in order to reach the mass of unsaved people. The reason why I heard from John Piper the other day, I like to listen to his podcast. The reason why I believe Jesus is still not coming yet, the second coming, we all read, it's coming. Okay, when COVID hit, Jesus is coming already. Second coming is around the corner. The world is coming to an end. He says because there's so many people still unsaved. God is giving more time, mercy, gracious, to see more people come into the kingdom. And what is the church doing about it? What is every believer sitting in this room doing about it? We need to be praying for our unsaved family, friends, loved ones, colleagues. Keep praying. You may not be the one reaching out to them or bringing them to Christ. It's okay. Keep praying. God will send somebody. I've seen myself. I pray for my brothers and sisters in Malaysia. Okay, I did not personally share with them. And suddenly a good news came. They became a believer. I said, how did it happen? Oh yeah, I went through a lot of business failure. I was in depression. Suddenly a pastor came into my life. Bang. The rest is history. You see, it's not because I've been praying, interceding for him. This is how you and I should operate. Okay? Don't always say that I will be the one to bring the gospel to all my family members. Yeah, if you can, praise the Lord. But it doesn't have to happen that way, okay? So the church must not try to do too many things, you know? In the end, we lost our identity. We must do things with a purpose and a goal and an aim that what God has called our church to do. Next slide. The devil is not afraid of your reputation, your qualification, your theological knowledge. You can be a doctorate in divinity. The devil says, The devil is not afraid of your ministry experience. Okay, I have been a pastor for 40 years. I've been in ministry for 50 years. The devil is not interested in all that. You know what the devil is afraid of? Next slide. The devil is afraid of your identity in Christ. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give praise. Jesus, we want our identity to be regained today. He's afraid of your identity in Christ, of who you are, of what you are about to do to him. And he knows that when you realize your identity, you know all the weapons you have within you. And he knows that he's going to be afraid that you are going to rise up, you're going to exercise faith, you're going to speak, and you're going to command him. And he's going to be so freaking out because you identify yourself as the sons and daughters of the Most High God. Wow. So, identity in Christ is just not knowing him. Let me tell you, church, Don't think that, oh, I know about God. Okay, I read the Bible once a week. I know about Him. You will not go very far with that, church. Let me tell you what happened. Next slide. In Acts chapter 19, we all know this story, right? What happened? In Acts chapter 19, verse 11, it says, I start from 11. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even the handkerchief and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and the illness were cured, and the evil spirit left them. See, they saw a miracle. Somebody wanted to copycat. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirit tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus Christ over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preached, I command you to come out. So the seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. So one day, guess what? The evil spirit gave them a good one. The evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Oh man, I tell you what, if the devil talk to you like that, you are finished. Seriously. Who are you? He doesn't know that you are a child of God. He doesn't know that you are identified with Christ. That's why the devil can overrun you. That's why he's telling these people, who are you? Jesus I know, Paul I know, who are you? The man who had the evil spirit jump on them, power them, give them such a beating that they run out naked and bleeding. Who wants to run out naked and bleeding this morning? Come on, we have to know our identity, amen? Don't let the enemy overtake us. So don't think that you know of God. You know Jesus. No good enough. You need to have a relationship with Jesus in order to have an identity with Him. That's so important. If a foundation is not strong, everything is going to be cracked. That's why the evil spirit can tell you. Okay? Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Who are you? It's tragic when you are told by the enemy, I want the enemy to be silent. The moment he see me, he know that I'm a child of God. This event tells us about the importance of true spiritual authority that comes from our identity with Christ. And that's why, remember the story in John 15 about the vine and the branches? Jesus defined our identity is not by the fruit, it's all about the root, the true vine. If you stay with Jesus, you'll flourish the fruits that you bear. And identity with Christ is not about how I feel today. The day when you use your emotion, you use your feeling, today I feel I'm a Christian, I'm very holy. That's it. Tomorrow I don't feel like coming to church, I'm a bit in a bad mood. Then you don't have identity. Again, that's no good. You need to be consistent. You cannot be by feeling. So now let's move on to understand how the enemy plan operates. The enemy's plan is always to challenge your identity. Listen, very important. It will cast doubt on your identity to weaken and eventually to erase your identity. You know that the enemy doesn't want us to know who we are. Because as soon as you know who you are in Christ, you are like an awakened giant. You will suddenly awaken and the enemy will flee. He don't want you to know. He wants you to stay sleepy, quiet, subdued. That's the plan of the enemy. Because as soon as you know who you are, you are going to exercise authority. You're going to fight back. You're going to regain your ground. You're going to regain your territory. I believe that keeping us confused and living under fear is one way the enemy operates. Okay? Throughout the Bible, believers' identities has been challenged. Okay, so we are not new in this game. We are not the first. There are people, scriptures tell us, that the enemy will not hesitate. Right from the beginning of Genesis, your faith, your belief will always be questioned. The enemy always target your belief, target your faith, target your understanding. Alright, first slide. It starts with our Lord Jesus Christ. What happened? Jesus was After 40 days, 40 nights in the wilderness, fasting, seeking the face of God, he was hungry. And the devil comes smartly and says to him, if you are the Son of God, you see how subtle, if you are the Son of God, by repeatedly questioning Jesus' identity, he says, if you are, what does it mean? Meaning that, are you sure? Are you sure you're the Son of God? Some of us may be questioned, you are a Christian, are you sure? Well, you see, the Satan subtly didn't ask him to do explicit things, but rather to ask him to command these stones to be turned into bread. Why? Because Jesus was hungry. After 40 days, he know humanly he's in the flesh, he needs to eat. So the subtleness of the enemy will be targeting your immediate needs. Knowing that you're hungry, he says, if you are the Son of God, turn the stones into bread, then you can eat. How nice. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Well, Satan failed the first time. Before that, go back. He tried again. Satan took him to the pinnacle and told him, again, the evil start with the same question. If you are the Son of God, if, church, you got to see a pattern how the enemy operates. I want you guys to learn to see and expose the enemy. Twice he asked Jesus, if you are the Son of God, first time, first attempt failed. Second time, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. Because the Bible says, he will command his angels to take charge of you. You see, Satan even disguised that as the angel of light, or false teacher, misusing or misquoting the scripture to test God. Jesus' answer was, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to test. See how Jesus responded. Jesus knew the word, knew the power of God's word. He memorized God's word and he spoke the word of God with authority because he knows his identity. The enemy could not move at all. Three times he tried to challenge his identity, cast doubt. What happened in the book of Genesis when the serpent came? Did God say you can't eat from the tree of life? Read that, right? Subtleness. The enemy doesn't come and tell you, don't eat. Did God say you cannot do it? Huh? Yeah? Norma, did God say that to you? He's going to question you, whisper voices. How many of you have heard sometimes voices come into your ears? Voices, negativity, cast up upon your faith, cast up about God. Sometimes it may not be the same way how Jesus encountered. But you have heard voices, questions like this before. Call yourself a Christian. Look at your behavior. Sounds familiar. Look at your life. How can you be a church goer? I heard that many times. People talk about me. You see, they will not come to you directly, but always subtly. Okay? These are the perspective of the pagans, the world expectation of Christians. While I agree that a small percentage of Christians have not lived in accordance to the Word of God, to the kingdom, but many of us always try our best to be a good Christian, to conform and to be obedient to the Word of God. Amen? So, but the enemy will always target anybody. It doesn't really care. Because the moment you move from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, that's it. You are his prime target. He will do anything in his power to stop or oppose God's plan to save mankind from the hell to heaven. That's why it's important to know that we must be rooted in the Word of God. Number two, enemy's plan. What's the second strategy of the devil? Next slide. Okay. Deception, lies, the enemy will whisper into your ears. Not once, repeatedly. How many times did the devil tempt Jesus? Twice. He used the same method. If you are the Son of God, first attempt failed. Try again. If you are the Son of God. So if you have this repeated in your ears, very soon you will be desensitized. Very soon you will be compromising. That's why you need to be grounded in the Word of God. And straight away you say, no, I reject it in the name of Jesus. If any voices come to you, that you will be sick, you will not get well. You pray to God, God doesn't answer you. In the name of Jesus, you reject all these thoughts, all these voices. The enemy is going to question your salvation, your justification, your redemption. And telling you that God doesn't love you. Have you heard of this before? He's so far away. I see you pray so often. God never answers you, correct? You see? Look at you. You're still sick. These are the voice of the enemy. You need to go back to the Word of God and say, believe what He says I am. God, the enemy will tell you, you are not worthy. Look at you, still living in sin. Still struggling. Are you sure you are born again? How do you know you will get to heaven? Hey, these are real, realistic questions. If you can't answer this yourself, you're going to have a problem. Where did the Word of God say that I will get to heaven? Where did He say that I'm born again? They will tell you, look at your life. So messy. Your marriage is breaking up. Your kids are no more at home. Run away. You pray and God never answer. Where is your God? The enemy will keep denying the authenticity of God, of the Word in your life. He will put insecurity in you in so much effort and repeated until you will compromise. So, if the devil cannot take away your identity, he will try to weaken it. See? Same way the enemy, the Bible says in John 10:10, he comes to steal, kill and destroy. If he cannot kill you, destroy you, you guess what he do? He will put sickness in your body and lead you to collapse and eventually die. This is how the plan of the enemy, strategy. Satan has always wanting to oppose. The third strategy of the enemy, make you give in to temptation and compromise. That's just what happened to Esau. Okay? Because he was hungry, he was weak, he was lonely, he was depressed. Okay? Because this is how, there's a saying, a hungry man is an angry man. So man, okay, look at your neighbor and say, don't worry, lunch is on the way. Won't be too long, I'm going to finish. So don't get angry if the preacher delays his sermon. Okay, don't fidget. Tell each other, the Word of God, spiritual food, then physical food will come. But I tell you a true story. It's a Christian couple in Melbourne that the church I go to. The man came back from work and was so hungry. He was hungry, he was tired, it's a long day. And he said, where's my dinner? The wife said, I was so busy with the two girls, whole day, I could not even find time. Shall we go and buy? She shouted at her, no! He kicked the table, the whole thing all collapsed. He was so angry and furious because of his hunger. The wife had to call the police and they put an AVO on him. Christian couple in the church. Cannot happen, right? Happen. Church, because of one moment of temptation, compromise, he lost his control, he lost his cool. And now, the police have put an order on him not to come near the wife. They are going through counseling right now. Church, it's very, something you think that is not significant, it won't happen, it can happen if you let the enemy overtake you for a moment of temptation and compromise. The day, now move on to the next slide. The day you will have a new identity. Okay, back one slide. You know what? Before we came to Christ, we belong to the world. We were under the control of Satan, right? The principality of darkness of this world. The day when you gave your life to Jesus, It's the day when you drop your nets and follow Him. The day you say no to the world and yes to Jesus. That's the day you raise your hand, you kneel on the floor, or maybe in the evangelistic crusade in a big stadium, you went forward and prayed by somebody, they give you some material, and you say the sinner's prayer. That's the day something powerful happened to you, within you. And God took over. That was a divine exchange that happened in heaven. You realize that suddenly chains and shackles falling off from your feet. You no longer want to do the things that you were used to doing. You just turn your way, your eyes and your body and your face from the world and follow Christ. That's the day you no longer identify with the world, but you are identified with Christ. That's the day you have a new identity. 2 Corinthians 5:15. You see, as a born-again believer, we have a new identity. Some people celebrate two birthdays. You know that? Two birthdays. I remember. I say, how come you have two birthdays? One is my natural birth, when my mom gave birth to me. Second one, when I found Christ, I'm born again. Wow. Have you, those days, I used to buy a Bible, new Bible. In the front page, they always say, date of salvation. Oh, then, date of baptism. Right? Remember? See? There, you still have old Bibles. Date of your salvation is your date of your identity with Christ. That's why they say they have two birthdays, birth certificate. Do you still remember your birth certificate in heaven? That means, do you remember your day of salvation? Roughly, maybe 20 years ago. Some people so put it so important, they put a date, 21st April 1992. I became a believer. So important. That's the day I encountered Christ. I encountered God. My life changed. If you do not know your identity, then you probably do not know where you are. I remember my wife was searching for our son's birth certificate, the natural one, right? I said, I don't know where you put it. Why is the birth certificate so important? Because it talks about who's your father, who's the mother, where were you born, which hospital, there's a date of birth, and even the time. And sometimes the birth certificate even have dialect, language that you speak, right? It identifies you. That's why it's important to have identity in Christ. Satan wants to erase your identity in Christ. Do you know that? Satan cannot erase your natural birth, but he wants you to erase your spiritual birth. That's the day you find that you're lost again. So you need to remember, have a daily reminder, affirming your identity and keeping your spiritual birth certificate locked in your pocket all the time. Always time you are under attack, temptation, challenge, you always say that I'm born again, I'm God's child, I can do all things through Christ. Because the Bible says, in Him we live and move and have our being, in Him. So to reclaim your identity, number one, I'm going to finish very soon. Renew your mind. This is the biggest work of the enemy, your mind. The moment you tell yourself, you know, I can't do it, I'm a failure, God doesn't answer. You see, it's all stuff from the mind. I strongly believe no one goes into depression immediately. Never. It's always through a series or sequence or event that develop over time that we did not allow a control or manage from the top down, from the mind. Reclaim and maintain your identity, okay, through the renewal of your mind. Tell yourself, I'm loved, I'm chosen, I'm redeemed, I'm a child of God. I can do all things through Christ. Daily reminder in Romans 12. Romans 4 talks about renewing of your mind. Number two, of course, repentance. Acknowledging that we have sought an identity outside of Christ. We come before the Lord and ask God to forgive us. Get right. And reminder, we need to remind ourselves. Why you need to join a cell group? Because it's where the teaching comes. Why do you need to do daily devotion? You remind yourself. Why do you need to do memory verses? Because you remind and you regurgitate the Word of God and meditate upon it. To remind yourself that God, I am God's child. And I renew my identity. Of course, fellowship, the cell group. Okay, I'm going to tell you this, I quote this from Justin Bieber. You say, hey, Pastor Joseph, Pastor Yuming, you crazy. This guy, you know, he went to church in Hillsong, we know, right, in America. But I'm just extracting his quote, okay? He says, what happened to me was real. He became a Christian. He explained. But it doesn't get the final word. Jesus didn't just help me to cope. He restored my identity. Justin Bieber said that he restored my identity. I'm not a product. I'm not what the industry, music industry demand. I am a son. Because I'm healed, I can forgive. Not to excuse injustice, but to make sure it doesn't keep reproducing itself through me. I mean, a man like him, famous singer, okay, pop star, but of course, he's empty. You understand? All of us can be so famous, so successful in the commercial world, but deep down, you are empty until you have your identity in Christ. Amen? I hope you are getting something this morning. Okay, how many of you are getting something this morning? Let me see your hand. Great, 80%. Okay, the 20% will see me later. Understanding who we are in Christ will cause us to recognize why we are different from the world. The truth is, if you don't understand what makes us different from the world, you will never make a difference to the world. Amen? Amen? Can we all stand to our feet for a while? Next slide. I want to finish with this. I know it is small, if you can read. I want all of us as a church, as a body, to declare and say it like you mean it in your heart. This is what God has made us, our identity in Christ. Obviously, there are more than that, but it's enough scriptures to affirm His identity and our relationship with Him. Okay, together, I am chosen, I am holy, I am without blame. I am predestined, I am adopted and belongs to God. I am redeemed through the blood of Jesus. I am forgiven, set free and delivered. My hope is in Christ. And I have a rich and glorious inheritance. I am sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. I have guarantee of my inheritance. I am the head, I am a conqueror, I am a mighty warrior. I can do all things through Christ. I am called to hope, faith and love. I am born again, cleansed by the blood of Jesus. I declare I am a child of God and He is my Lord forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads for a while as the musicians get ready. You know, you heard so much that I talk about. But if you are standing outside the kingdom, you can never have an identity with Christ. So this is an opportunity. If some of us here have never invited Jesus into your life, you are outside the kingdom. You are identified with the world. But today is an opportunity. If this is your first time and you are not sure, and you want to invite Jesus into your life, I can pray with you. Today, if you say the sinner's prayer, accept Jesus, you will be identified with Christ. And you will have all the privileges as we see on the screen. Anyone here wants to give his life to Jesus first time? Anyone who have never accepted Jesus? Raise your hand. I can pray with you. None? Good. As I close, I encourage you. Today is a moment I want all of us to encounter God. You may have lived differently, you may have forgotten, but today you found that God, you brought a revelation to my heart. Right now, I want to confirm it and affirm it as a sign, as a demonstration that God, you are my Lord and Savior. And I don't only want to know of you, I want to know you. I want you to come to the altar today. And let's pray and unite together. Okay, as we sing the last song, those of us, come on quickly, come to the altar. And to show that God, yes, I want to be identified with you once again in Jesus' name.